This isn't the sermon or the service that I originally planned for today.
We'll get to that one. But it can wait. This is actually sermon number 5, if that gives you any idea of how much thought. This election season wasn't like anything I've ever experienced in my life. It was ugly in a lot of ways. For the first time ever, friends teaching 8th grade civics and 10th grade political science couldn't assign the debates as homework because they didn't want to expose the children to the language being used in the crowd and the violence. Donald Trump verbally attacked women, minorities, the handicapped, immigrants. He started with insults and vulgarity and then plummeted downward and hit rock bottom and started to dig when comments about grabbing women that he had made on a live mic came to light. And our country broiled with anger. He didn't specifically encourage fear and violence in his supporters, but it was encouraged. He targeted a Gold Star family, showed no respect for veterans with injuries and PTSD and no understanding of the legal underpinnings of our democracy. And our polls showed Hillary Clinton winning by a landslide. And on Tuesday, Donald Trump became president-elect of the United States. It's been a frightening week for some of us, and some of us are angry. Other people aren't sure if they should be angry or not. Some are cautiously optimistic. Some of us are grieving and find ourselves crying on and off for reasons we can't completely articulate. On Wednesday, I opened the doors and said I'd be here to talk, and I had a steady stream of people. The last people were in my office at 8:30 and 9 o'clock, and I got home a little after 10. People just wanted to touch base and process, if only for 5 minutes, just to hear there's someone else feeling this, whatever this is. No two of us have the exact same beliefs. No two of us share the same politics. In this congregation alone, we have Democrats and Republicans and Libertarians and some Socialists, Green Party, Independents, probably a few that fit in no box or category. And we can all agree that we have similar values. Some voted for Hillary, some voted for Trump, some voted third party, and we're all here. And the questions I heard most over the last few days from our beautiful, dissimilar group of people, left and right and center, from others around the country, what now? What do we do now? This doesn't feel like business as usual. Is there hope? What's going to happen now? Let me start with one side. On Wednesday, two different grade schools had incidents where white children circled Latin children and started yelling, "Build a wall." Muslims are afraid in public. One had the lug nuts on her wheels loosened as a joke. Another had her hijab pulled off. Swastikas have been painted on some walls. The Klan is marching in North Carolina. This morning, a neo-Nazi group put out flyers intending to also march. A Klan march in Los Angeles got violent. LGBTQ families are afraid of what's going to happen to them. Women's health care and reproductive care is at risk. And all of us, including myself, who depend on Obamacare, are a little nervous. I wish I could, but I can't be Pollyanna and tell you it's all going to be okay. We don't know what it's going to be. But here's the thing. Donald Trump has a chance to be a president for all of us. He is the president-elect, and he has a chance to recognize that many, many people voted not for the racist and the bigoted persona, but because they were so sick of politics as usual that they couldn't imagine voting for one more career politician, even if it meant destruction. They couldn't take any more. Our Constitution and our body of laws still stand. They haven't gone away. Good people throughout both political parties are still doing good work to take us forward. There is hope that the persona, the reality TV persona we were shown, will bend to reason and the constraints of the presidential role. And it's those constraints that I am counting on. Our president is not an emperor. We have checks and balances. Even with a Republican-led House and Congress, we have some checks and balances. But if our president falters, if he upholds bigotry and hatred as new American values, then we have a job to do. We can never turn aside from the values of love and inclusion that we hold dear. Never back away by 1 inch or 1 foot or 1 mile. Never say that it is okay to hate in the name of change. We must be the chalice light in the darkness. If necessary, we must be the thin line that holds the center, a point of sanity to come home to. We have to hold the center for Black Americans and women and Latinx people. We have to hold the center for the handicapped and for Muslims and immigrants and the white middle and lower class. We have to hold on and stand up for the values that we hold dear. And we will not be silenced. We will not give an inch. We will not go away. We will hear the roaring voices of the people who stayed home from this election. And we will hear the people who voted for change. We will hear our America saying it cannot, will not continue with political monkey business as usual. This may not be the change we wanted, but we hear people calling out for the reformation of our floundering democracy, economic system, and our battered political process with its partisan mayhem. Everyone has had enough. And we hear that. Enough of income inequality, enough of lifetime politicians voting in their own interest only. Enough of lowered wages and rising costs and tax breaks for the rich. Enough student loan debt, enough corporations owning our political process. Donald Trump spoke to the heart of people who feel like politicians look down on them. He spoke to frightened people who say that their industries were decimated as businesses moved to Mexico. He spoke to people who just wanted to work and do good things for their families. He's their tasteless uncle who did really well, and now no one is going to tell him what to do, and he's going to come home and make it all okay. He also spoke to the racist and the haters and the bigots. If Donald Trump plans to help middle-class families, if he wants to increase their economic security responsibly, we can get behind that. We can work to make that happen. We can help make people who feel frightened and voiceless a part of a functioning country again. We can work to welcome those people who share our values, not all. We can help them become part of something greater than themselves, no matter what their political party. We can do that. We can support the fight for a fair minimum wage. We can refuse to allow deregulation of the banking industry. We can support health insurance reform, which does not remove care from 20 million Americans. But we can support reform. We can fight for reasonable immigration policies and a workable path to citizenship. We can level the tax playing field. We can help to prevent more tax breaks for the ultra wealthy at the expense of the poor and middle class. We can work for reasonably priced college education. There's work we can do. In the words of Elizabeth Warren, as the loyal opposition, we will fight harder. We will fight longer. And we will fight more passionately than ever for the rights of every human being in this country to be treated with respect and dignity. We will fight for economic opportunity, not just for some of our children, but for all of our children. We do not control the tools of government, but make no mistake, we know what we stand for. The sun will keep rising, and we will keep fighting each day, every day. We will fight for the people of this country. The time for ignoring the American people is over. It's time for us to come together to work on America's agenda. Democracy demands that we do so, and we are ready. And we are ready. We can use the pain and the anger and the despair that have surfaced in this election as a guide for what our work must be for the next decade. There isn't an easy path from here on out, but there is a path. And we must be willing to walk on it. In the words of Holly Neer, I am open and I am willing, because to be hopeless would seem so strange. It dishonors those who go before me. So lift me up. Lift me up to the light of change.
I am open and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It would dishonor those who go before us, so lift me up to the light of
Everybody sing, please.
I am open and I am willing, to be hopeless would seem so strange. It would dishonor those who go before us, so lift me up to the light of change.
My family, there is sorrow in my town, and there is panic in the nation. There is wailing the whole world.
Before. lift me up to the light of change. May the children see more clearly, and may the elders be more wise. May the winds of change caress us.
Confusion. Give me a desert to hold my fears. Give me a sunset to hold my wonder. Give me an ocean to hold my tears.
But I am open and I am
time, please.
I am open and I am willing, for to be hopeless would seem so strange. It would dishonor those who go before.